when I got there.
That's right, about 26 years.
Now, in that time, you've turned out some graduates who went on to bigger and better things. We won't go through a whole list now because it'll take the rest of the afternoon, but what do you teach those people?
Whoa.
I mean, aside from Knob A opens a pot and the microphone is over here and the camera's over there.
We try to teach people in the broadcast communication arts department the functions of being a total broadcaster, a total communicator, not merely the skills and the talents involved, but also a lot having to do with the responsibility and the potentials.
Do you ever get out into the day-to-day nitty-gritty of it all and say, well, this is what we've been teaching, this is what the real world is like?
We do. As a matter of fact, we always try to connect theory with practice. And obviously we can't put on and shouldn't put on the pressure the day-to-day operation is undergoing. But we try to be as realistic as possible, and we have now a pretty good internship program where our seniors go out and see what it's really like. And then they always say, you know, I learned more in 1 week than I learned in the 4 years I was with you, which is always not too
you don't want to hear that.
But they wouldn't learn that in 1 week if they hadn't had the training we can give them.
Yeah, but you pushed my button there, Jim, with that real world stuff. We live in a pretty real world there.
Oh, it's an ivory tower. You guys know what's happening out there.
Well, it should be. You know, and I think we should preserve the ivory tower because we can experiment. And one of the missions of our department is to at least lead the industry, not just follow it with thinking. Not necessarily technique and expertise, but at least with some ideas, which have come to fruition. You know, we have been doing stereo audio for television for years and years. Now it's the big thing.
I hope that the people you're turning out now change television for the better in the future, because I'm still not convinced television's doing what it ought to do. Television seems like an enormous waste of time to me. By and large, I know you don't want to hear that, but it is. So, I mean, look at the crap that's on and the stuff that we're watching. I mean, night after night, day after day. Daytime television is a complete waste of time.
Come on now.
Nighttime ain't that hot.
You're just trying to push our buttons, Jim, because you know very well that newspapers are just as bad, magazines are just as bad, billboards are just as bad, radios are just as bad, and that what you do is to choose the best of each of those, that which is most appropriate to your own life. And you pick that, and if you stay with just that, you can pick some pretty good stuff.
But aside from this radio station...
Oh, yes.
Flick around the dial and listen to the garbage that's on the air on radio. I mean,
well,
just trash.
Yeah, you know, Jim, no, I think Art is right, too, but you're right to a certain extent that there are so many channels now. You know, the problem is really one which I call communications pollution. There's so much information floating around that it's really difficult sometimes to sort out and find the good stuff. But whenever I travel, and I travel quite a bit, I try to find better television than I haven't yet. You know, the BBC is very proud to play Streets of San Francisco. The television in Bangladesh is re-showing Gunsmoke. And so all over the world, American television is setting standards, so we must do something right.
Yeah, but look what we're sending them.
True.
I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing for people, by and large, when we show them the top shows, The Cosby Show, Family Ties, Cheers? I mean, what does that do? Have you learned anything about the world we live in when you see those shows?
Oh, I miss a half a dozen of them.
Have you seen Perfect Strangers?
Yes, I have.
Now, there's one that makes me laugh every week. Those two guys are perfect together. They're good actors. They're well-written. They're funny. But a lot of now, look down the top list here. The Cosby Show, okay, it's a hit. Family Ties. Now, that's an innocent, funny little thing. They don't do too many social things there, do they? I mean,
no, well, they're doing
easy
some,
ones.
some fairly real issues with Michael Fox.
Cheers.
Yeah.
The Golden Girls. One thing that was pointed out about this season is, this season the trend in sitcoms seems to be somebody moving in with somebody. Have you noticed that?
You know,
grandmothers moving in with their grandchildren, aliens moving in, or
this eccentric family theme is being done to death.
But you know, I'm not the sitcom expert, but I think we have changed from the real hearty laugh to a chuckle, internal chuckle. I think we have personalized sitcoms, so that the comedy is deeper now. It's more on a personalized level rather than a situation. So it may not be a situation anymore, but an internal situation where two people talk to each other and then sort of try to resolve their problem in a humorous way.
And this is very risky, because the true nature of comedy does not allow for drama. I mean, you've got comedy and you've got tragedy. Now, when you mix the two together, you're threatening each one of them.
What about St. Elsewhere?
Well, that's not a sitcom.
But it mixes the two, doesn't it?
Well, it has some humor in it, but it's basically plot. It's basically situation. As a matter of fact, it's one of these new types of shows, which I'm calling sit-drum instead of sitcom. St. Elsewhere, Hill Street, and now L.A. Law.
Yeah, they're all multiple stories going on at the same time, and you kind of cut from one to the other. Can people keep up with that?
We thought we couldn't when Hill Street came along, but we were trained to, and now everybody seems to be able to keep up with them very nicely.
I think that the big problem with television plays was that they were too simplistic, that they had the regular normal plot from beginning to climax to resolution to the end, and then we discovered life is much more complicated than that when we turned the television set off. So I think they are much more realistic in terms of the complexity of life, and I think we can easily keep up with it.
I had a sudden flash the other night. I'll give you this for what it's worth. But I was watching something like one of those private eye things, my camera or something like that, and I suddenly thought these would be better if they were half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they tend to get a little flabby in the middle.
Yeah, but if they're well written, Jim, remember, those are the shows that really have to depend on plot. Where you have to unravel a mystery, where you have to have a lot of elements in the plot to make it. And I dare say it would take terribly tight writing and acting to be able to do it in a half hour.
One of my favorite shows this season, again, just for what it's worth, is the new Crime Story, which isn't getting very good ratings. I see it down here about 61st on the list. That began like a house of fire. It reminded me of the old Untouchables, and it one of your sitcoms had multiple stories going on at the same time. Last night it took a completely different turn. It was completely different than any of them have been up till now. But I think that has some promise if they'll just stop putting up against blockbuster shows. And that's the problem. You get a good show like this, and it's up against Dallas or Dynasty or some nitwit thing like that, and it vanishes.
Also, you know, the problem with these things is that an extremely good writer starts out the series, but then other people start writing for it because one person can't write it anymore. They change the style a little bit, and then you have varying quality shows. I mean, they're just not that quality on.
One thing that held Moonlighting up, I think, is that one guy says everything goes through his typewriter. Mm-hmm. Anybody can write, but he's going to rewrite it before it gets on the air.
Yeah, but you've got this other thing happening now, too, and that is the return of Lucy.
Uh-huh.
And I've noticed on the credits...
Abbreviated return.
Yeah, our old friends Madeline Davis and Bob Carroll, who wrote thousands of the original Lucy shows, are writing the shows now. And it's going down the tubes. And it's the same kind of humor, a little bit more sedate because she's older and so...
She's 50 years older. Can't do the same things with
her. But it's the same kind of show, and people won't take it.
Hold on again just a minute while I do some business. We'll take another call or two right after this.
Easy does it now. Come on. Wells Fargo announces the addition of a powerful seasoned team.
Hey, give your hand there, mister.
The Crocker Credit Experts. Combined with Wells Fargo, they offer you the savviest source for lines of credit, the most convenient, flexible way to borrow in California. You get the added muscle of three lines of credit to choose from, the flexibility of choosing a secured or unsecured line, the proven performance of Crocker and Wells Fargo, where more people have more line of credit accounts than at all other major California banks combined. Plus, the knowledge of the territory that helps you choose the line of credit that's exactly right for you.
I'd say you got a better team than ever now.
Much obliged. Crocker and Wells Fargo's combined credit savvy, working for you now at over 600 Crocker and Wells Fargo offices.